Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. There are many things in this life that oftentimes we may feel that we cannot do without. But friends, if we really get down to it and we really begin to think about these things, there are many things that we may, in our lives, may necessarily count as necessities that we don't necessarily have to have, isn't it? We can live without a car. We can live without air conditioning. They've done it before. We can live without indoor plumbing. We can live without television. We can live without being able to watch college or professional sports. The one that pains me to say, we can live without hunting and fishing. We can live without carpet. We can live without tile floor covering. We can live without paved roads. And one that many find as a necessity today, friends, we can live without a telephone or a computer. But to a Christian, there are certain things that we absolutely cannot do without. I want you to turn with me to begin this evening to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to notice with me verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Friends, as a Christian, we cannot be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that, as Christians, we cannot do without. We cannot do without the blood of Jesus Christ being shed upon that cross for the remission of our sins. If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, we see there God at the very beginning proclaiming the importance of one's blood. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, He says to Cain, Abel's blood cries out to me from the ground. The importance of blood is seen there. In Genesis 9, verses 3 through 6, those that would be followers of God were told not to eat blood, and God even told them that if a man shed blood, his blood would be required. We see again the importance of blood. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, we see there that it was the blood of lambs that saved Israel at the Passover. Again, we see the importance of blood. In Leviticus 17, 11 through 14, again, we see there the commandment that they should not eat blood. Acts 15 and verse 29, Paul writes there, Luke writes concerning something Paul said, to abstain from blood. I want you to turn with me now to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, begin reading with me in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Here we have, friends, we have Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. It is through partaking of that blood that he shed that we have fellowship with him. We read time and again in the New Testament that Jesus freely shed his own blood for us. Just a few chapters over in John chapter 10 and verse 17, we read there where Jesus says that he laid down his life. No man could take it from him, but he laid it down so that he may take it again. He gave his life freely for us. He shed his blood freely. Friends, we could not have life. We could not have life were it not for the fact that Jesus became a curse for us on the cross. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the death of the cross is proclaimed there as a curse. Now, friends, if we think about what it meant to be crucified in those days, this was a death that was reserved for thieves and criminals and slaves. If one was a Roman citizen, he could not be crucified. This was something that was meant to degrade a person. They were hung there oftentimes with nothing on whatsoever. At the most, they would be wearing a breechcloth. And so it said of Jesus that he despised the shame. That is, he went to the cross regardless of the shame. He became a curse for us on the cross. Friends, without the blood of Jesus, Christianity has no basis for existence. Christianity has no basis for existence without the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 20 and verse 28, we read there that Christ purchased the church with His own blood. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, we read that there is no hope without the blood of Jesus. We cannot do without the blood. Friends, the death of Jesus and His blood cannot be separated either. In John chapter 19, verses 34 to 36, we see there that Jesus' side was pierced by the Roman soldier. And forthwith came out blood and water. He shed blood even in his death. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Notice with me verses 8 through 10. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You cannot separate the blood of Christ from His death. It is there that we come in contact with that blood. You see, friends, Jesus' blood, the way that we have our sins remitted is by coming in contact with that. And that blood is contacted initially at baptism. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, we read there that we are washed by His blood. In Titus 3 verses 5 through 7, we read that we are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And that happens, friends, upon baptism. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when the people cried out to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's simple response was, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul recounts his baptism. Friends, it is there that we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. We read it again in Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. And so we come in contact with the blood. And the blood washes us of our sins. Again, Hebrews 9 and verse 22, without blood, there is no remission. A Christian, friends, cannot, absolutely cannot, do without the blood of Christ. Number two, a Christian cannot be saved without faith in God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 now. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice with me verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently or constantly seek Him. Friends, we must believe, number one, in God's existence. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we simply read there, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. Friends, we have to believe as Christians, number one, in the existence of God. That is the basis, really, for our existence as Christians. In Exodus 20 and verse 11, again, there Moses writing of the creation says that God created the world in 6 days and rested upon the seventh, and so He made the Sabbath and hallowed it in remembrance of what He had done. Friends, we must believe in God. Again, we read there in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is. We must believe that He is. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Friends, one thing that we have to realize as well is that believing in God, we must believe that Jesus Christ is God. Notice with me, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And don't miss the last part of that verse. And the Word was God. Jesus is God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, friends, think about that. We just saw in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. He created the heavens and the earth. In Exodus 20 and verse 11, we see that He, God, created the world in 6 days. Now, think about that. Here in John chapter 1, it says, without Christ was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the Word, our Savior, created the world. We must believe that He is. Psalm 19 and verse 1 tells us there that the heavens declare the glory of God. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, we read there if you're a prankster, one of your favorite holidays, April Fool's Day, don't we? In the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We must believe that He is. We must also not just believe in His existence, friends. We must believe in God's promise. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, we read of the promise that God gives to Christians of eternal life. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and notice with me verse 13. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Now, friends, the people about whom the Hebrews writer is writing here, these folks lived under the old law. But I want you to notice their faith that the Hebrews writer proclaims. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Why did Moses do what he did? Why did Joshua do what he did? Why did Noah build the ark? Why would they do these things if they did not understand completely what God's plan was? Why did they do those things? They understood the promise of God. They kept that in the forefront of their minds. They lived for that promise. They believed in the promise of God. So, friends, we must believe in God's existence. We must believe in God's promise. And, friends, that belief must cause us to go to work. It must cause us to go to work. In James 2, 14 through 26 there, we read there of faith and works, don't we? At one point, James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith how. By my works. You shall see that I believe in God and His promises in the way that I live. That's what James tells us. We read much the same in John 12, 42 and 43. In Romans 1 and verse 5, Romans 16, 25 and 26, there we read of the obedience of faith. What is our faith, friends, going to cause us to do? Obey the Word of God. Friends, we cannot be saved without faith in God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Number three. A Christian cannot, absolutely cannot, be saved without holiness. Turn with me again to Hebrews, if you're not already there. And I want you to notice with me chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So the Hebrews writer tells us here, if we're not holy, without holiness we shall not see God. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, and read with me verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter's writing to Christians. And he says here in verses 15 and 16, But as he which hath called you, God has called us, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And everything that you do in life, be holy. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Friends, we cannot be saved without holiness. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, beginning in verse 11, we read there, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Friends, we must live, as Christians, holy lives. How do we do that? How do we live holy lives? Matthew 5 and verse 8. Jesus, beginning the Sermon on the Mount, says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, we just read that those that were not holy shall not see God. So how do we live holy lives, friends? We have pure hearts. We keep our hearts pure, as Jesus said. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, how do we live holy lives? We walk in the light as He is in the light. It is by walking in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, that guarantees us the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus. How do we live holy lives, friends? We keep always in the forefront of our minds. As John writes in Revelation 22 and verse 17, nothing that defiles shall enter into heaven. And friends, if we keep that in mind, it will help us to live holy lives. There are many things in this life that if we got down to it, we could do without. But friends, these three things, the blood of Christ, faith in God, and holiness. We cannot do without these things as Christians. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, our question for you tonight is, are these three things active parts in your life? Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you continue to live in obedience to God through faith? Are you living a holy life? My friends, if you're here tonight having never been baptized, having never been immersed in water to come in contact with the blood of Christ for the remission of sins, why not tonight? God has blessed us with another day, but we're not promised tomorrow. Friend, if you're here and you need the remission of sins, why not put Christ on in baptism? Have your sins washed away so that He will add you to His church. And then go on and profess your faith in God and live a holy life so that you can hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, friend, you may be here having been baptized at some point in your life, but your faith has waned. Maybe your life isn't so holy. Would you make things right? Would you come back to God and be His once more? Friend, we ask of you, we beg of you, if you have a need, whether to have your sins washed away, to repent of sin, friends, or just if you need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.